Tonight's shiur in Parshas Devarim, Li'uli Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim, brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh. Pasuk says, towards the beginning of the Sedra, Acharasar Yom Mechorev Derech Har Seir Ad Kadesh Barnea. So there's interesting Kliyakar who found a remez L'inyana Diyoma, as we are in the midst of the 9 days, and he says that there are in fact 11 days of the year when we are Misabel, we mourn for Yerushalayim. What are they? Asara B'Teves, that's number one. Shivasar B'Tamuz, two. And now, the 9 days, from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av. So we have 2 days, Sar B'Teves, Yud Zayin B'Tamuz, that's two, another nine, nine and two is 11. It says, Ekli Yakar, Remez, Achad Asar Yom, those 11 days, Mechorev. Chorev is Milashan Churban, Churban Beis HaMikdash. So we have 11 days when we're Misabel for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The question is, though, are we really mourning? We say, yeah, we fast, whatever, but is it, do we really mean it? Are we really crying for the Beis HaMikdash? The question that you probably get most asked as a Rav is, oh, can we shower with hot water, with cold water? Oh, did we have to? Right? In other words, it's a concern about our personal interests. Maybe we should be crying a little bit more about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Magid Midubno, to the following mashal, which I saw brought down a number of things we'll say tonight from the Sefer called Eish Das. Magid Midubno, he relates the following mashal, as he usually does. There was a husband and wife that were married a number of years, and they were in Zochah to have children. Finally, after many years, the woman became pregnant, and everything was going well. Came time for the delivery. She goes to the hospital, goes to the delivery room, and the husband's waiting anxiously. What's it going to be, a boy or a girl? And all of a sudden, the doctor comes out, and he doesn't have a very happy look on his face. So the father starts getting nervous. He says, what is it, doctor? So the doctor says, well, I don't know exactly how to break this to you, but it's not a good matzav. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, unfortunately, it's either your wife or the child. He says, why? What do you mean? He says, that's it. He says, we can only save one of them. We can either save your wife or we can save the child. So you must tell me what to do. What should we do? It's up to you. Should we, save the wife or the child? She says, well, what kind of a question? How can I answer such a question? He says, this is Dine Nefashis. He says, I'll have to go ask a Rav, of course. I can't answer such a question myself. So give me some time, a half hour, whatever. I'll make some calls, whatever. I'll try to get a psak. So the doctor said, there's no half hour. That's it, right now. Yeah, it's minutes. It's right in the midst of the whole thing. You have to make a decision on the spot. Is it your wife or is it your child? He said, doctor, I can't. I can't make such a decision. He says, so what do you suggest? So the husband says, I know. I'll ask my wife. Let her decide. It's her life. Let her decide. So he said, fine. So he goes up to his wife, and she understands the matzav, and the husband says, so what is it? Is it you or or the child? So she says, listen, I've been waiting so long for a child, and finally the time has come. He says, I would not be able to live without a child. So take the child. I'll sacrifice myself for the child. So he says, okay, but she says to her husband, but just one thing, when he grows up, whatever, tell him about me. Tell him who I was. Tell him what I did for him. Tell him how I sacrificed my life for him. So then, you know, when it comes a time that he's able to say Kaddish or whatever, he'll say it with emotion or feeling because, you know. So he says, of course, of course. So he tells the doctor that was the decision and he leaves. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. They were able to save the baby at the expense of the wife. The wife is Nifter. Big Yule Levaya, the whole thing, of course. Anyways, the baby grew up. Years went on. And came time, Erev Bar Mitzvah. So, of course, his Bar Mitzvah is the same day as the Yortzeit of his mother. Right? She died the day he was born. So the father says, takes him aside and says, listen, tonight your Bar Mitzvah, you're going to be going up to the Amud, Dominic Marav. You know what your mother did for you? You know, she sacrificed her life for you. And all she asked is that you, when you say Kaddish, you say Baruch, we should do with regesh, with emotion, you know, feeling, after all, for all she's done, etc. So son says, okay, fine. Anyways, comes time for Marav, and the boy goes up to the Amud, and he Baruch Hashem Baruch. Comes times for Kaddish, runs through the whole Kaddish, like nothing. The father faints. Pasha faints on the spot. He couldn't believe it. So he approached the son after he came to, and he said, how could you do that? He said, after what I told you, what your mother did. She said, listen, Abba, I understand, but I never met my mother. How do you expect me to have feelings for her? I never met her. Of course, I go to her, you know, grave or whatever. That's pretty much it. But how do you expect me to have? So we hear this. We say, oh, can you imagine? I mean, come on. Behold that when his mother, you know, sacrificed love still. I don't know. Says the Magi Midubna. The Nimshal is clear. It says we're the same way. Right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, look, he knew it was either us or the Beis HaMikdash. Right, Beis Meir is like the mother, right, and we are like the children. And Hashem says, "Listen, because of the sins of the children, right?" Hashem says, "I got to take one of you. It's either the mother or the child." So Hashem, as Chazal tell us, took His wrath out of the Yetzim and Avanim and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash instead of destroying us. So the Beis Hamikdash gave, quote unquote, as if it were its life for us, it was destroyed for us. So what? We should be appreciative. We should cry, we should mourn at least once a year on Tisha B'Av, in the 9 days, we should be mourning for the Beis HaMikdash after all. What happens? So the king knows, do I have to take a shower? I can't take a shower, when, blah, blah, whatever. And that's it. Tisha B'Av goes by, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's over, or whatever. I said, how could we do that? Well, I never didn't know my mother. I didn't know the Beis HaMikdash. It was 2,000 years ago, whatever. What? Because I go to the kever, I go to the chorba, you know, I go to the wall, you know. That's about it. Well, what do you want from me? Come on, what do you want from me? You know, you're only here because the Beis HaMikdash gave its life for you. But unfortunately, that's the way it is. And even if you'll say that, hey, look, you know, we do cry. We cry. We cry to Hashem. We cry for a lot of things. In fact, it's a question that is asked that Chazal tell us that when Yaakov Avinu took the brachas from Esav, that Esav shed 2.5 tears. 2.5 tears. He cried 2.5 tears. Because of those tears, we're suffering till today because of these 2.5 tears of Esav. Because he heard him, he didn't, the bracha was stolen from him. That's it. Those 2.5 tears were taken, were suffering till today. Rav Shmelka Nicholsburg, he says, I don't understand. Lichora, we have a concept in the Torah called bittel, right? Some things are bittel, rove, some things, Chazal were misakin, 60 times, batal b'shishim, and other things, or 100, or maximum 200, or whatever. So he said, so, what's going on? L'chura, our tears, over the generations, since then, and we said we're suffering for our generation, our tears were much more than even 200 times. There were plenty of tears we've been crying over the generations. So he says, why aren't our tears mevatel those little 2.5 tears of Esav? The Chorban Beis Hamikdash Rishon and Sheni, the Inquisitions and the Gzeres Tachvatat and the, of course the Holocaust. So, given a small, of course, hundreds and hundreds of stories, but one story that was the Nazis Yemach Shemam. This woman was with her three little kids, and the Nazis took the three kids and they put them on the train to send it off to the death camp. Just the kids. So the mother, of course, is crying, you know, her kids are to get taken away. And the kids are crying, Ima, Ima. And she was, you know, of course, going hysterical. So what did the Nazi do, Yemach Shemo? Nazi comes up to her and says, okay, you're upset, I'll tell you what, you can take one of your kids. Take one. So she goes up to the train. Three kids. Take me, Ima, Ima. How is she going to decide? So she walked away. She didn't take anybody. So tears, plenty and plenty of tears. So what's pshat? Why are we suffering in the tears of Esav? Surely these 2.5 tears are mvatel many, many times over from all the tears that we've been shedding over the generations. So the Saba Akadosh Miradoshitz relates what happened to him once, and with this can answer the question perhaps. Once he was went into Galus, and he was staying by this mishpacha, Balabais. And as usual, he would get up middle of the night to say Tikkun Chatzos, the mourn over the Beis Hamikdash. So, as usual, he got up middle of the night, etc. And he hears that he's not the only one awake. He hears the Balabais is also. And only that, he hears the Balabais is like groaning. You know, oi, oi. So he says, wow. You know, I thought this guy's a regular Balabas. But I see this guy's one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. I know he's Tzadik Nister. You know, he looks like a simple ball of mines, but he gets up in the middle of the night, cries to himself, me, unbelievable. And then he hears a, oh, oh, like really, like serious, like wow. This guy's probably the top of the list of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, not just the Pasha of Lamed Vavnik, you know. And he's totally, the Sabin Radishitz was taken aback completely, couldn't believe it, that he was in the presence of such a holy individual. So the man's groaning and groaning, finally hears him say, "Oh, Chana, how many times have I told you not to serve me fried foods before I go to bed? Oh, this heartburn, oh, oh." Meaning that, yeah, we're crying, but what are we crying for? We're crying for our own needs. We're crying for the base of Mingdash. We're crying. When things go bad, we cry. Why are we crying? Because we want things to go good. Oh, we have a problem with this, a problem with our car, a problem with the, whatever it might be. Our overdraft in the bank, right? We're crying. But, yeah, we're crying. But not, we're not crying for the base of Mingdash. We're crying for ourselves. And to answer the question, therefore, says that it's true that we have a concept of bittul, but there's another idea in halacha, and that is that min b'mino lo bato. And Esav, why was Esav crying? Esav crying because he wanted the brach, he wanted olam hazeh. It wasn't interested in Hashem and Shechina. No, he wanted olam hazeh. He wanted the brachas, the gashmias. He wanted the brachas. So when we cry, if we're crying for the Gashmias also, our own personal needs or whatever, that's mean b'mino. Those tears of this type of tears, they're both the same type. And mean b'mino lo bato, we can have one out of it in a million. It's not going to be bato, it's the same type. So that's why, yeah, we might be crying, but unfortunately it's a selfish cry. It's not a cry which we should be crying for. We should be crying for the Shechina that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to wants to be here, wants to the base of Mikdash, and that's why we should be crying. Rabbi Yisrael Mirujin said on the pasuk, "Gam ki elech begeit salmaves lo irara ki ata imadi." He ties it up the following. He says, "Gam ki elech begeit salmaves." Even if in a time of in a terrible, terrible matzav, he says, "Lo irara." I'm not afraid because of myself, for myself. That's not what concerns me. You know what concerns me? Ki ata imadi, Hashem, because you're with me. And it hurts me that you have to be here in such a bad matzav. When there's such a terrible galus going on, so much sorrow is going on, it hurts me that it hurts you. As we know that when a parent hits the child, they say, who does it hurt more? It hurts the parent more than it hurts the child when he has to spank him. Right? So it hurts Hashem when his children are suffering. So he said, "That's ki atayim adi, Hashem. That's what I'm worried about. That's what hurts me, because you're with me in the tzaras, and that hurts me." So Rav Moshe Betzalel, he was the brother of the Admor Migur, the Imre Emes, and he was supposed to take over as the Ger Rebbe, but he was also killed by the Nazim, Yimach Shemo. And when he was in the ghetto, even though he was all the tsarists, of course, they were all around, he always walked around with a smile on his face. Always smiling. So they asked him, "What's going on? How can you smile? It's all this horrors going around you." So he said, because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Bechol tsarasam lo tsar." Then whenever we, the children, are b'tsar, then Hashem is b'tsar. So I don't want Hashem to, have to be b'tsar because of me. You know, when he sees me b'tsar, he's going to be b'tsar. So therefore, I'm walking around with a smile on my face, so it won't bother him so much, because he sees his children not in so much tsar. So he says, that's why I walk around with a smile. So, if we can't, or we find it hard to cry for the what we're supposed to be crying for the Shechina, for Hashem, the Tsar that is causing Hashem, by seeing all of the galus that we're in, then at least minimally, we can't cry for Hashem, then at least still the crying should be not a selfish cry that we've been speaking about. It should be a crying to feel for one's fellow man, which is, we know, the base of Migdash is destroyed because of Sina Shechina. So if we feel for our fellow man and feel for his tsar, then at least we're crying for that. That's like Avas Chinam. That's we can hope to build a Beis HaMikdash. It's the famous mice, of course, we're all familiar with in the Gemara and Gittin, story of Kamtsa and Bar Kamtsa. It's very briefly. We had this man who was making a chasana, and he invited his friend Kamtsa. So he sent a shaliach to bring the invitation, but he got mixed up, and he invited his enemy Bar Kamtsa came to the suda. He came up to me, "Hey, what are you doing here?" The balabai said, "Hey, this is who invited you?" He says, "Oh, I thought you wanted to make up with me, or whatever." I was a little bit surprised myself. I got shocked when I get this invitation from you, but I figured you want to make up with me, whatever. So I'm here. He says, "My God, not a wake up! Get out of here!" So I just felt embarrassed, and get up and leave. So he says, "Oh, just let me stay, and I'll pay for my portion." So he says, "No, I don't care. Portion, no, get out of here." He says, "No, please. I'll pay for the whole suda. Just let me stay." So he says, "No, out of here." So out is out, and he left. And he said, "This guy kicks me out, embarrasses me, and nobody said anything. There were chachamim there at the suda. They didn't say. Nobody said anything. So that's it. I'm going to show them." And he goes to the Kesar, and he malshins on that the Jews are rebelling, and which led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and everything went along with it. So, it's interesting because Chazal say, "Bo Rei, come and see the koach of busha." Why? Because Lemaisa, why didn't the Chachamim say anything? They asked that as well. Why didn't they say anything? You see this guy getting kicked out. The answer is really, Sofo, the end, shows the what happened to me. We see the type of guy this guy was. A guy who would go in and malshin to the Kesar and cause the destruction of Beis Hamikdash. The guy was a manuvel, okay? And so, L'chor, the Chachamim were not so interested in, you know, helping out. They probably knew who this guy was, as he showed his real colors afterwards. But still, Chazal say, come and see the Koach of Abusha. And Shalom Shmadron says, you see from here that very nice, you know, guy was a bad guy, whatever, but how careful one has to be with the, you know, fellow's feelings. Agav, you know, they ask, also a famous question, Bar Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, the Gemara says, because of Kamtza, Bar Kamtza, that the base of Migdash destroyed. So, famous question, what did Kamtza do? Right, Bar Kamtza, yeah, right, it was basically destroyed because of Bar Kamtza, because what he did, he malshin, fine, I mean, I understand that. But what did Kamtza do? He knew anything. He was supposed to be invited, he wasn't, and that's it. So why, it was because of him that basically made it destroyed, because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza? No, just because of Bar Kamtza. So the Marsha, based on the Marsha, a sefer called Menachem Tzion, the Marsha says, who is Kamtza and Bar Kamtza? Bar means ben, means son. So the Marsha says with father and son. Kamtza was the father, and Bar Kamtza, Ben Kamtza, was the son of Kamtza, was the son. So the Sefer Menachem Tzion says, based on this Marsha, he can answer the question very nicely. He says, what Kamtza do? Well, someone who has a son like Bar Kamtza, so there's something wrong with the father, with the chinuch that the father gave. So it's because of, also because of Kamtza, the basically destroyed. Because the father obviously was not mechanech his son Bar Kamtza properly, he would end up doing such a thing. Others want to say that along the lines that we're saying, that how you have to, you know, you have to feel close, you have to feel for your fellow man, etc. He says, what was the problem with Kamtza? Well, he didn't come to the chasana. He says, well, he wasn't invited. They say, you have to be invited. When your best friend makes the thing, you didn't get an invitation. You say, oh, I'm sure it was a mistake. You go. You want to be mesameach with your best friend. You know, you didn't, I'm not going. Oh, not going. I wasn't invited. What kind of a, you go. He's your best friend. And had Kamsa showed up, and just come, finished, and he wouldn't have had to send the shaliach, and Bar Kamsa wouldn't have come, and nothing would have happened. All this would have happened if Kamsa would have showed up. But he did it because, oh, I need an invitation. He said, what do you need an invitation for? You should be happy with your friend's simcha. And it's like you have to be sorry for your tzaras and be happy with his simcha. It's the story of Avraham Grzynski, Hashem Yim Kam Damo. It was a Mashkiach in Slobodka that once he was traveling and he was staying at this inn. And nighttime, actually the next morning, after, you know, he slept over overnight, and the next morning the innkeeper's goy came up to him and says, before you leave, he asks Rav Avram, he says, can you tell me where you get your stuff from? So Rav Avram's saying, well, what? He says, come on, where do you get your stuff? He says, well, stuff? What are you talking about? What stuff are you talking about? Come on, your booze, you know, that you drink. You must have unbelievable booze. He says, booze? I don't drink. You don't drink? He says, no. He says, I don't understand. Because last night, I was heard a little bit of noise or whatever, and I went in the hall, I saw it coming from your room. And I peeked through the, you know, to the, you know, hole, the keyhole, and I saw you dancing and singing. You're all by yourself. And you're dancing and singing and dancing and singing. So I figured, wow, you must drink some good stuff there, you know. So I want to know, you know. So he goes, I don't drink. He says, you don't drink? So were you dancing and singing by yourself? He said, I'll tell you. He says, I have a Talmid, you know, I teach in a yeshiva. And I have a Talmid who was getting married as chasna last night. Unfortunately, as much as I would have loved to come, but okay, I couldn't, I was traveling, whatever. And I just remember that, you know, last night was his chasana. And I felt so overjoyed, I danced as if I was at the chasana. So that's feeling for your fellow man. Nissen Karelitz used to say that You know, he says he gets a shaila. For example, somebody's making a sheva brachas, and it's a little bit too noisy. You know, they make a little bit of noise, and the neighbors are kind of upset. And they ask the shaila, can they stop them? If they have a right to, you know, put their foot down. They're not just going to make noise and this and whatever. So Reb Nissen had an interesting hour. He said, listen, he says, 100%, it's usher to make noise and, you know, at night and keep the neighbors, you know, that. He says, but I have a different question. He says, why is it bothering you? Your friends are getting a simcha. And they say, okay, you're right, it's loud, you know, saying, oh, Yisham, a little bit too loud. Okay. But if you really, you know, really felt for your friend and you really were happy with a simcha, right, you'd be sameach with him. Right, why is he doing this? Is it right? Okay, it's not right. But the shaila shouldn't come up. You should be happy for him. Okay, he's making a simcha. You should be happy. So that's our avoda. That we have to be cry ideally for the Shechina. And if we can't cry for the Shechina, then okay, at least feel for our fellow man. That's the next step down on the ladder. And if we can't do that, then what's the last step? Then at least we should cry for ourselves. Cry that we are not crying. Even more so, the Kotzker Rebbe is to ask, says the Chazal tell us that all the gates in Shemayim are all closed up. So there's only one gate that is not closed, and that's the Sharei Dima, the gate of tears. Okay? The gate of tears is never closed. Okay, so simple pshat, and therefore if you cry, your tears always make it up to heaven. So the Kotzker Rebbe asked, well, if the gates of tears are never closed, so what do you need a gate for? You get, you know, like the old joke, you know, they say that they ask, how could a 7-Eleven store, why does it have a lock on the door? You know, it opens 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, so why is there a lock on the door? I mean, it's all same idea. He says, so why do you need a gate of the if it's never ninal, it's never closed up, never locked, the gate of tears? So what do you need a gate for? So he says that although it's true that the gates of tears is never closed, however, it depends on what type of tears we're talking about. He says, tears of tipshim, of fools, that it's closed for. What is that? Following analogy, there's hunters that would like to hunt, you know, for the zoo or whatever, they catch monkeys, chimpanzees, okay? So how do they catch a chimpanzee? I'll tell you in case you're interested. They go out into the forest or whatever these monkeys live, and they take a box, and they put in it rice, cooked rice, with tavlinim, with spices and things. Because they love cooked rice with spices. Love it. So they put it in a box, and then they cut a hole in the, they make a sealed box, they cut a hole in the top where the monkey can fit his hand just with this open hand, like stick his hand in straight, and then that's, but not more. It's exactly to fit in his hand, he sticks his hand down in it. Fine. So what happens? The monkey sticks his hand in, he grabs the rice, and then, when he comes to take it out, he can't, because now it's in a, he's making a fist, right? Because the rice is in his fist. So he can't take out his hand because of the fist. And then the hunters come, they approach him, all the other monkeys are far away, already running away when they see the hunters coming, and he's screaming and stuck, because he can't get his hand out. So, of course, that's a tippish. Why? Let go of the rice! Let go of the rice and you can run away too. You can take your hand out. You only can't take your hand out because you have a fist. But no, he's so involved with his taivas, so he can't let go. He goes, he's crying out. Oh, no. He says, what are you crying? He says, those are tears of tipshim. He was a similar analogy. The Rebbe Mislonim, he says that, same idea that the hunters would like to catch beavers. Because beavers, they use the fur for things, very expensive. So how do you catch a beaver now? If you're finished catching your chimpanzees and you want to catch your beavers. So the beavers, they go to the woods and they cut wood and then they bring it to the river, wherever the riverbed where they make their homes, and they take the wood there. So it's yidua that a beaver always follows his same tracks back. If he goes to a place, then he follows back exactly the same tracks as he went to. He goes in exactly the same ones coming back. So how do you catch a beaver? Very simple. You see the footprints where it's, you know, direction going into the wood. And then they set up a trap right there on their way. So when he comes by, back, he goes right into the trap. Same thing. You know, he's approaching the trap. He sees a trap in front of him. And he's like, oh no, a trap. Oh no, what am I going to do? What a trap. Boop, goes into the trap. He says, you idiot, just go around the trap. But what do you get? He can't. He has to go in the same track. He's stuck. He's got to go in the same tracks. That's it. You know, go around it. No, whoop, right into the trap. He knows it, but he can't. He has to. He's stuck. So that's the. Those are tears of tipshim, as the Kotzker Rebbe calls it. That's unfortunately, yeah. There. That's what we have to cry about. Right? We go right after our taivas. We run after things. We can't let go. Oh, I can't let go. I need it. Come on, just let go. You'll be a different person. You'll be... No, I need it. That's called tears of tipshin, that the gates are not closed. Are closed for. That's what we need, the gates. So it's about the Shem. In these times of mourning, saw the different madrigas. Ideally, we should be crying for the Shechina, right? If not, at least for our fellow man. And if not that, at least, we should be crying for ourselves. We shouldn't real tears and not tears of tipshim. And Zot Hashem, if we do so and we cry real tears, then these tears will be mavatal, the tears of Esav. They won't be mimim b'mino, they'll be mimim b'sheino mino. The real tears of crying for the Shekhinah, mavatal, the tears of Olahazah of Esav. We won't see any more tzaras, and we should see the ultimate building. Good of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We shouldn't have to sit on the floor this Tisha B'Av, and we should be celebrated with Simcha. And when we see the Gula Shema and the Binyan by Shlishi, you hear Vyameinu.
Amen.